know that the Scripture says that the people that sat in darkness saw a great light. Anybody familiar with that? It's in the Gospel of Matthew. The people that sat in darkness saw a great light. Jesus was born into a world of darkness. Can I get an amen? The same problems that existed in that time is existing in our time. Political dissension, hatred, economic problems, etc., etc. But the root cause is the sin that is rooted in the heart of mankind. So when Jesus was born into this world, when he was birthed on this planet, the darkness was pierced. And the gospel declares that Jesus is the only one who can bring light to every person. And thank God for that. Thank God that that is the hope of the gospel. So I want to share something with you today. I have entitled this message, The Birth That Changed Everything. The Birth That Changed Everything. John 1:1. I want to give you two verses, John 1:1 and John 1:14. All right, John 1:1, it says, In the beginning, before all time, was the Word, Christ. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God Himself. What an incredible verse of Scripture. Then verse 14 says, And the Word, which is Christ, became flesh. This is what theologians refer to as the incarnation, God becoming humanity. The Word Christ became flesh, human, incarnate, and tabernacled, fixed his tent of flesh, and lived a while among us. And we actually saw his glory, his honor, his majesty. Such glory as the only begotten Son receives from His Father, full of grace, favor, loving kindness, and truth. I want to talk to you for a few moments today about the birth that changed everything. The birth that changed everything. These two verses of Scripture, we may not necessarily incorporate that into the Christmas story that we read in the Gospel of Matthew and also in the Gospel of Luke. But there is no doubt that it is referring to the birth of Christ into this earth. He was the Word. He is the only one that can pierce the darkness. He is the only one, my friends, that can change your life and the lives of every succeeding generation. And that's why John 14:6 says, He is the way, He is the truth, and He is the life. No man comes to the Father except by Him. Can I get an amen? Thank God. Thank God. The birth that changed everything. The first point I want to give you today is this, is that Jesus Christ is the expression of God. He is the very expression of who God is. He reveals to us who God is. And as the Bible says in John 1:1, in the beginning, before time began, He existed. The Word existed. If you'll look at this verse of Scripture, in the beginning was the Word. It's the Greek word logos. It simply means the expression of divine intelligence. Jesus Christ is the expression of divine intelligence. That's what that word means. Logos. If I want to communicate to someone, I speak. There are words that we speak, words that we share. Because words are an expression. God gave the greatest expression when He gave the Word. And the Word is Logos. The Word is Christ. He is the expression of the divine intelligence. Check this out. In Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1 in verse 3. I want to read this in the Amplified Bible. And it's a mouthful. But listen closely, and you can read along on the screens of what this verse says. A direct reference to the person of Christ. It says, He is the sole expression. In other words, He is the only expression. There is no other expression. He is the sole expression of the glory of God, the light being, the outreign or radiance of the divine. And He is the perfect imprint and very image of God's nature. Notice what it says next. Upholding, maintaining, and guiding and propelling the universe by His mighty word of power. In other words, He holds it all together. If the sun would move a fraction of an inch, the entire world would burn up. If the sun would move away a fraction from its position, the world would freeze to death. And the Bible says that He holds it all together because He's propelling the universe. You know, it must be terrible to be an atheist, to have absolutely no hope or expectancy of anything. I saw somebody posted a little meme, and it said, marry nothing. It was two atheists, one atheist speaking to another atheist. And one atheist says to the other atheist, marry nothing. And then the other atheist turns to him and he says, the same to you. You know, nothing. To believe in nothing. How could the structure of the universe, how could it simply remain in its position if there is not a divine intelligence that is controlling it and holding it in place? And this verse of Scripture tells us that He is upholding it, He is maintaining it, He is guiding it, and He is propelling it by the mighty word of His power. Now, the exciting thing about this is if this is what Jesus Christ does, then, my friends, what can He do in your life and in my life when we surrender to that propelling force? Hallelujah. How can He uphold us and maintain us and guide us and propel us by the mighty word of His power? It goes on and it says, when He had by offering Himself accomplished our cleansing of sins, riddance of guilt, He sat down at the right hand of the divine majesty on high. The birth that changed everything. He is the expression of the divine intelligence, the Logos. Thank God that Jesus Christ was born. Thank God that He fulfilled every prophecy. He fulfilled it to the very letter and the very T. And thank God that He offered Himself to remove your sin, my sin, freedom from guilt, freedom from all of those things that weigh people down. Because He is the very expression of God. Here's the next thing. Jesus Christ is the only man born sinless. Think of it. From the book of Genesis, when God gives us the creation narrative, in 6 days He created the world, spoke it into existence. Bible says on the sixth day He created man, made him the crowning achievement of all of His creation. On the seventh day, He made a declaration, behold, it all is good. Everything He created was good. And the Bible says that God rested. The seventh day was a day of rest. He created everything good. Humanity was created to be in relationship with God. That was the objective. That was the plan. That was the purpose in the very beginning. So then we read in Genesis 3 that sin came into the world. Death by sin. Death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. So then Genesis 4 tells us that then the family began. Adam knew his wife Eve. She conceived and produced seed. But every child born was born into sin, because sin came into the world in Genesis 3. Until the fall of man, there was no seed born. Listen to me. There was no children born. There was no seed born before sin came in. None. Because Adam was not born, he was created by God. Isn't that right? He was created by God. He was not born into this world. He was created into this world by God Almighty. So then every single person born, every child born into the world was born in sin. In other words, having the origin of sin on the inside. That's why babies are always rebellious. They want their way. They want what they want, and they want it now. And if not, they're going to let you know about it. When Stephanie was born, I don't think we slept for the first 9 months or longer. It was rough. It was rough. But thank God, finally in 2015, she started sleeping. Hallelujah. Maybe a little before then. But every child born is born with the origin of sin. So then here comes Christ, the only man born sinless. Because he was born into this world without sin because of his virgin birth. Can I show you something real quick? I didn't have this in the sermon notes. But I want to show you this real quick, because this is a powerful thing that we should always be mindful of. In the Gospel of Matthew chapter 1, we have the genealogy of Christ on the side of the Father. If you go into the genealogical line of Christ in the Gospel of Luke, you have it traced to the line of the mother. So you have the father's side and the mother's side. And in the father's side, in the Gospel of Matthew, listen to what this says. And it's the genealogy. It says, the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begot Isaac. Isaac begot Jacob. Jacob begot Judah and his brothers. Then it goes on, and Judah begot, and Ram begot, and Salmon begot, Solomon begot, Asa, Uzziah, Hezekiah, Josiah. And they begot, and they begot, and they begot. It's tracing the genealogical line of Christ on the side of the Father. All right, so then we get down to verse 16. And Jacob begot Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. Do you recognize and do you notice that when we get to the birth of Christ, the begotten stops? Do y'all see that? Very powerful that we understand that, because we have all of the begots. You know, because the seed, every child born into the world was begotten of a human father's seed until we come to Christ. And then the Bible tells us plainly. It says, Jacob begot Joseph, but Joseph was the husband of Mary. Do y'all see that? What an incredible shift. Joseph was the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. It does not say that Joseph begot Jesus. Right? Because he didn't. And because he didn't, Jesus is the only man born into this world without sin. Joseph was his legal father, but he was not his biological father. This is one of the fundamentals of the faith, and this is a tremendous truth that separates the person of Christ from Muhammad or Confucius or Buddha or anybody else you want to name. This is what makes him separate and distinct, because he is the only man born sinless. And since he was sinless, he was in favor with God and declared himself to be the Son of God. And this is why I love what 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 22 says. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 22 tells us about being born again. And he says, since you have purified your soul, or 220, I'm sorry, 1 Peter 2:22. He says, being born again. Well, I like the other one too. Because we have purified our souls by obeying the truth of the gospel. That's 1 Peter 1:22. But 1 Peter 2:22 says this: he committed no sin. That's powerful. That's so vital. That's so important. He committed no sin. Ever. All of us have committed sin forever. Since the moment we were born into this world. But the scripture says that he committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth. It goes on and it says, when he was reviled, he did not revile back. Now y'all know, in our sin nature, somebody rip you off, there's going to be hell to pay. And y'all know it's the truth, right? You ever had somebody steal something from you? Has anybody ever had a car stereo stolen out of your car? I've lost several. I'm waiting for somebody to break in my vehicle and install one. Probably won't happen. Right? Because sin. You know, but if somebody insults us, we might cop an attitude. Right? Because that's based on our sin. Somebody cut you off in traffic. Oh, boy, that's the one that really... I don't know what it is with me lately. But in traffic, my patience is thin. Because I see people doing all of this cutting in line. And you're trying to get off of the expressway and you've been waiting about 10 minutes because you got at the back of the line and everybody just comes running right on up, and as soon as there's that little crease, bam, there they go. Back in the day, I would have got out of line and I would have picked up whatever I had in the car and I would have smashed it right through the back of their window. I'm just being honest. But that's when I lived in sin. Bound by sin. But now in the nature of Christ. See, he wants his life to manifest in us. But we still have that old life to deal with. And the Bible says that he was sinless. Committed no sin. No deceit in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile. When he suffered, he did not threaten. Anybody ever been threatened? Anybody ever make a threat? All right, let's not go there, praise God. but he committed himself to the one who judges righteously. The only man. He was born into this world without sin. Since he was the only sinless man ever born into the face, upon the face of this world, he was in favor with God. And Jesus exemplified spiritual relationship with God. He exemplified it. He walked in spiritual relationship with his Father because he was born into this world with the glory of God upon him, because he did not possess Adam's fault, Adam's sin, Adam's problems. Thank God. And that made him the ultimate sacrifice. See, we're talking about the birth that changed everything. Thank God. Let me give you the next point. See, all humanity is born with darkness in their understanding. Every single human being born upon the face of the earth, they are all born with darkness in their understanding. Check this out. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 18. Ephesians 4:18 says this. It says their moral understanding. This is talking about the world at large. Every person in the world in which we live that is not a born-again Christian, that does not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior, all of those that are stealing your Amazon packages, right? All of those that are ripping you off, all of those who are trying to cut you off in the line, get ahead of you in the airports. I remember going on missions trips with my father-in-law. He didn't have a lot of patience for line cutters either. And there was this guy. We were actually in the Honduras, Tegucigalpa Airport in Honduras. And the lines, the place was packed. And there was flight problem, there was delay, there was all kind of things going on. And we're trying to get back to America, coming to America, hallelujah. Yeah. At that point, we were ready to get home. You ever been away on a trip and you're just ready to get home? You're just ready to get back? Listen, you go to countries where your conditions are not too good and your living arrangements are not the best, and you can't wait to get back home. So we could not wait to get back home, and there were problems with flight delays and weather delays. Y'all ever heard of hurricanes? They have those down there in the Caribbean, and they cause problems for the airlines. We were trying to get on this flight, and there was this guy. He just thought he could just get right in front of us, and my father-in-law was not having nothing of it. And we actually had one of the missionary team that was traveling with us. He said, Pastor Hunt's going to take care of that guy, and then we're going to have to pray for his healing. The guy that cut the line, it didn't really get that bad, but he did say, "Hey, pal, line's back here." And then the guy got an attitude. Well, anyway, it all worked out, thank God. You ever reach those points where you say, "You better hold me back"? Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. The others of you are too scared to admit it. But we live in a world where people are blind and they don't have the Spirit of Christ. Now, we all know as believers that we should submit ourselves to the characteristics of the Holy Spirit. But how many of you know sometimes it's not easy? I'm going to give you all that message. Sometimes it's not easy. It takes growth, and it takes development, and it takes building your spirit life to maintain those characteristics You know, the Bible says this, if you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The problem is we have a lot of people who are not walking in the Spirit. So if you don't walk in the Spirit, then guess what? Then the flesh has a way of manifesting itself. Well, we were just talking the other day when we used to play in this church softball league. And, man, we had pastors in it. And you know, we had, I think, about eight churches that were involved in it. And the pastors and the leadership of the churches, they were all involved. Man, if you want to see some, you want to see some manifestations of flesh, get some pastors playing in a church softball league. And, man, I'm telling you, the game is on. And the competitiveness. And the funny thing, all the fussing and feuding and arguing, and then at the end of every game, we gather around them on the mound, we'd hold hands, and we'd sing Kumbaya. Well, maybe we didn't sing really, but we did pray. And after those games, a lot of us needed prayer. Unless you were like me. You know, because I tried to stay a step above and not get into those kind of arguments and fights. And oh, y'all know I'm just kidding. You know, it was a lot of fun, but it was a lot of challenge. You know, because Jesus was the only man born sinless. All the rest of us, we don't have that kind of spiritual dynamic that he had. That's why we need Jesus Christ. That's why we need the power of the Holy Spirit working on the inside of us. Because all of us were in this category. You may still be in this category today if you're not a born-again child of God. You may need the redemption that Christ offers. And it says their moral understanding is darkened. Their reasoning is beclouded. They are alienated, estranged, self-banished from the life of God, with no share in it. This is because of the ignorance, the want of knowledge and perception, the willful blindness, listen to this, that is deep-seated in them due to their hardness of heart, due to the insensitiveness of their moral nature. Wow. That nails it right there. That tells us the problem. All humanity is born with this darkness in their life. The word darkened here is the Greek word skotos. It means obscurity, to shade. It means the darkness of error. That's what the word means. The world, my friends, is a very dark place. We live in a dark world, and Jesus Christ will come into hearts and lives, those who surrender to him and become born-again children of God. And then something happens to the understanding. What happens to the understanding? 1 John 5:20 gives us the answer. It says, and we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Hallelujah. Do you see the reversal of the darkened understanding? It only comes through the Son of God. He's the only one who can reverse that moral problem. See, the reason why people fuss and fight. I was coming out of Walmart this week. And I was just going through the front door, out the front door, and I was behind this lady in front of me, and she's on the phone. And she's talking about, I don't know if it was her husband, I don't know if it was her boyfriend, I don't know who it was. But she was talking about, you know, that she's supposed to be the only love of his life. Are y'all with me? Oh, it was an interesting conversation. Because, you know, she didn't care who was listening or who was walking around. I mean, I wasn't trying to listen, but I was right behind her. And she's in the same lane that I'm going to my parked vehicle. And, you know, and she's talking about, She's talking about, that I'm supposed to be his only woman, but evidently she wasn't. And she was upset. And when I say upset, she was upset. I mean, she was talking so loud. I think it was the husband or the boyfriend that she had on the phone. And the longer we walked, the louder it got. I was almost ready to just kind of keep walking, just to kind of see how this story was going to unfold. Jesus is the only one born sinless. Everybody else has got issues. Come on, somebody, right? Because all of humanity is born with darkness in their understanding. Or as the Word says, the darkness of error. My. But Jesus comes and He changes everything. Let me move on to the next thing. I'm almost done. I'm going to let y'all out of here in time to see the Saints kick off against Atlanta. Say, He's a miracle-working God. Hallelujah. My. Got to cut some break. We're going to be back here at 6 o'clock. I love this one. This is so powerful. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 19. See, God was in Christ, the Bible says, reconciling the world to Himself. God was in Christ, restoring favor. Restoring favor. Listen to this verse. 2 Corinthians 5, 19. It says, it was God personally present in Christ, reconciling, restoring the world to favor with Himself. Restoring the world to favor. Restoring you to favor. Restoring me to favor. When you wake up in the morning, if you're a born-again child of God, you ought to wake up with a declaration, I am restored to His favor. Hallelujah. Good things are going to happen in my life, because I am restored to His favor. That doesn't mean you won't have trials and tribulations. It don't mean that you're going to be free from all of the calamities of this world. It doesn't mean that. As long as we live in this world, Jesus said you will have trouble. He said, but be of good cheer, because I have overcome this world. Hallelujah. So if my faith and my confidence is in the person of Christ, I am in favor with God. And the Bible says it right here. It says that He has restored us. We are restored. He was present in Christ, reconciling, restoring the favor, not counting up or holding against men their trespasses, but canceling them, committing to us the ministry of reconciliation. Notice this last phrase, of the restoration to favor. The restoration to favor. The restoration to favor. I love this word, reconcile. It means to change from enmity to friendship. That lady on the phone with her husband or boyfriend, whatever it was, they needed some reconciliation. That guy was out of favor. Are y'all with me? He was out of favor because of his transgressions. The Bible teaches us that we were out of favor because of our transgressions. But thank God that He has reconciled us. There's been a change from enmity to friendship. We are no longer at enmity against God or enemies against God. We are now in a relationship of friendship. Jesus, before He was crucified, spoke to His intimate group of disciples, and He said, from this moment on, He said, I no longer call you servants. He said, I call you... Are y'all with me? He said, I call you friends. Why? He had a revelation of what his redemptive plan was going to provide. It was going to reconcile, break that enmity, and restore them to favor. Change from enmity to friendship. Oh, thank God. God was in Christ restoring favor. My friends, that is good news. All right, here's the last and final point. 11:35. And I'm on the last point. How you underestimate your pastor? Christ is reborn in every heart that will receive him. John 1:12 says, but as many has received him, to them he gave the power or the authority to become children of God. 1 Peter 1:23 says, being born again, not of, that's why I was quoting this verse earlier, I added here just at the wrong, a different place. It says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God. Y'all see the word, the English word, word? Guess what? It's from the same Greek word, logos. All right, so he's telling us, and what does logos mean? Expression of divine intelligence. Expression of divine intelligence. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word, the logos, by the expression of the divine expression of God, or divine expression of intelligence. Expression of divine intelligence. Let me get it right. It's the same word. We have been born again, not of corruptible seed, meaning the seed of Adam, the seed of humanity, the seed of sin. But we have been born of the Logos. We have been born of Christ. He is the Logos. He is the Word of God which lives and abides forever. And I love this in 1 John 3:9. 1 John 3:9 says this. It says, no one who is born of God, whoever's been born of God, does not sin. For his seed. Do y'all see that? For his seed. Logos. Oh, hallelujah. This Bible is so incredible. I have been a student of Scripture for 41 years, and it never ceases to amaze me. The incredible truth, the typology, and all of the pictures that God paints through this book we call the Bible, that reveals the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because from Genesis to Revelation, it is all about the Logos. It is all about the very person of Jesus Christ. So he says, whoever is born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin, because he has been born of God. Now, my friends, what he is talking about, he is talking about the seed of Christ. He's not saying that you can't walk out of here today and rob, steal, kill, murder, commit adultery, whatever. Get drunk, take drugs, all of those things we put in the category of sin. We could walk out of here and we, you know, by our free will, we could commit any one of those things. But what he is saying is the divine seed that is on the inside of a child of God, see, that seed cannot sin. That seed cannot habitually sin. This is how the Amplified Bible states it. It says, first of all, in verse 8, it says, the one who commits sin, who practices sin, is of the devil. Because the devil sinned from the beginning. So he says, no one born or begotten of God deliberately, knowingly, and habitually practices sin. For God's nature, see there it is, God's nature abides in him. His principle of life, the divine sperm, remains permanently within him. And he cannot practice sinning because he is born, begotten of God. How many of you know if you are a born-again child of God, your life will reflect that? And there are a lot of people who think they're Christians, they say they're Christians, but they continually live habitually in the power of sin. My friends, I would be bold enough to tell you today that there's probably 99.9% chance that they are not born again. A person can be in church their entire life and not be born again. It can happen, and it does happen. And if we are in Christ, if we are reconciled to God, if we have been born again, then our life will reflect that. Because the scripture says, he who habitually sins is of the devil. That's it. I just read it. 1 John 3:8 and 9. So the question is, see, Jesus Christ's birth changed everything. If he is born in your life, that birth on the inside of you will change everything. Everything. So we have to all ask ourselves the question, as we've talked about the birth that changes everything, has he been born in me? Is his seed in me? It's not a question of what church you belong to, or what religion you affiliate with, or even what you declare and profess. It's really a question, is what does your life demonstrate? Now, I've given some funny examples here today, about the work of God, and that's the thing about believers, We are not by any means, even a pastor that has served God for as many years as I have now, I hate to tell y'all, but I got flaws. And if you want to know about them, just ask this lady in the red dress. She'll give you a pretty long list, probably. Well, maybe not. You know why? Because I'm in favor. Hallelujah. Stay in favor. Now, she's got flaws, and if you would come ask me, I probably wouldn't be able to really write anything down. Man, I'm not stupid here, okay? I know how this thing works. Hallelujah. Some of you men, y'all better get that message. Because, man, if you stay in favor, it's going to be good. Blessed, prospered, hallelujah. Excited in Jesus' name. But thank God, and I thank God, that 41 years ago that I said yes to the born-again life. And I asked Jesus Christ to come into my heart and to change me forever. And he did. And I thank God, because his birth 2,000 years ago changed everything. His birth 41 years ago for me changed everything. His birth in you, however long ago it may have been, changed everything.